Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Looking for the perfect First Communion, Confirmation, or RCIA gift? Consider a beautiful, heirloom quality, made-in-Italy rosary from Ghirelli. A Ghirelli rosary will be prayed with and cherished forever, guaranteed. Shop Ghirelli today. That's GHIRELLI.com.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome back to another episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends. We are going to go on the road this week. I have the great joy of bringing you along to a film junket for the movie Breakthrough. This will actually be opening in theaters this week, and really excited to take you off for an interview with not only the director of the film, Roxanne Dawson, but also the subject matter of the film, John Smith, and the film star, Chrissy Metz. Breakthrough is based on the inspirational true story of one mother's unfaltering love in the face of the impossible odds. When Joy Smith's adopted son, John, falls through an icy Missouri lake, all hope seems lost. But as John lies lifeless, Joyce refuses to give up. Her steadfast belief inspires those around her to continue to pray for John's recovery, even in the face of every case, history, and scientific prediction. So the film will be out in theaters, and I'll be sharing on this podcast a few introductions and interviews with those cast and crew members. But let's just listen right now to the trailer for Breakthrough.
Rise and shine. Breakfast is ready in 10 minutes. And don't make me come back up there.
This is our town. It's a close-knit community, the kind of place where everyone knows everyone.
Hi, Miss Jay.
Hey, how are you girls?
And we're always there for each other.
Nice sermon, Pastor.
What do you guys have on for the rest of the day?
Well, John has a basketball game.
Yeah, I've seen this guy hoop it up around here. This kid is so lit.
Text your mom tomorrow and tell her when and where to pick you up.
And, don't do anything stupid.
Love you guys.
Boys, get off the ice!
We're training for the Olympics, sir!
Cindy!
God! He's been underwater for more than 15 minutes. It's gonna be a recovery, not a rescue.
I got something.
We got him!
We've done everything medically possible. There's nothing more we can do.
Please, God, send your Holy Spirit to save my son.
A 14-year-old St. Charles boy who spent 15 minutes trapped underwater is continuing to fight for his life.
I don't believe John will survive the night.
You don't know my son. He is a fighter. So I need you to be the best for John, and you just let God do the rest. My pride and joy. I can't wait to see you shoot those baskets and run up and down the court again.
The Smith family asked for one thing. Please pray for John.
In the water that day, I was ready to give up, but then I hear this voice telling me, go back. Either I'm nuts
or God's talking to you.
But I don't believe in God.
I believe, but maybe that only goes so far with something like this.
I'm your pastor. I'm supposed to walk alongside you for as long as it takes.
Did you see the Facebook page? It's gone viral.
Call me.
I hope he's gonna be okay.
We're not gonna get through this alone. Whatever you have for me, from Brian, from John, surrender.
So let's head over now to Beverly Hills. We'll head over to the Four Seasons for today's junket for a breakthrough. We're going to be having a few conversations, and I'm super psyched to bring them to you. So here we go. First of all, thank you so much for the beautiful job that you did in the film.
Oh.
I think it was really remarkable. Say a little bit about what it was like to play Joyce.
It was incredible. You know, she's a force. She is... an absolute inspiration, and she's flawed, you know, she's unwavering and she's consistent, and I wanted to get that right, you know, her essence, and really capture all the ups and downs with something like this. So, yeah, it was quite a challenge.
That was actually something that I really loved about the film, because while she's a woman of faith, this is very much her conversion story as well. You see this remarkable
her own breakthrough.
Conversion of heart, her breakthrough,
yeah.
Right? And I'm sure that was profound to play that and to get it just right, because you don't want to kind of diss her faith to begin
no.
with, but she needs to go through that, and there's a trust and acceptance. So
yeah.
How did you get to that point
yeah.
in the performance?
Well, I think so much of... you know, we're human beings having a spiritual existence, so we're flawed, and we don't always have the answer, and we're going to say things we regret, and our ego's going to get in the way, and we're going to make decisions that might not have been, you know, the best. And so that was so, I think, so colorful and so real. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times I say something and I'm like, oh, I had the best intention, but oh, dang it.
Why
you
did
know?
It come
yeah,
out?
Why did it come out? That? That's not what I meant. But then it gives you a chance to say, you know what? I messed up. I'm sorry. How can I fix it? And much like with Joyce and the way that she spoke to the doctors, and whether she was right or wrong, and whether they were desensitized because they've been, you know, with patients for many, many years, she's like, no, this is my son. Like, you don't get to speak about him that way. And then she could then stay, you know, take a step back and say, oh, that probably wasn't good. Probably wasn't smart. And then for her to have this huge breakthrough of her own, where she was in such a desperate place that she had nowhere else to turn to, she had to surrender and trust. And I think that's such a great, incredible example of what we can do on a daily basis.
One of the big things that I heard you saying over and over again in your portrayal of Joyce, she says this line to John, I can't remember the exact words, but something like, your life has value.
Right, and your purpose, and you're purposeful and you're loved.
You are purposeful,
yeah.
You are loved.
Yeah.
I think that's such an important message for anyone to hear. So what do you hope that people, and especially maybe teens and young
yeah.
adults, and hearing that message will take from watching the film?
Oh, I'm so glad that it came up so often and you recognized it, because it's one thing to hear something, it's another thing to recognize it. And so much of our life is comparing and despairing. I'll never be this, I'm too much of that. And the fact that we're even born is an absolute miracle. And if we could just realize that it doesn't matter how much money we have, what we look like, it's an absolute miracle that we're here. You know, that's enough. That alone, just existing, is enough. It just is. It just is. It just is. And we're not reminded of that. It's so much of it is like, how can we make somebody feel less than so they'll buy this particular product? Or how, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's always comparing and despairing. And that's part of the reason why I think this movie is going to touch people, because we're all looking for our purpose. And we'll find it if we can be reminded of how loved we are just by purely existing. Yeah, it's so important.
I love that.
Yeah.
I have to share a personal story. So I watched the film through the prism of a daughter, a mom too, but I'm a
right.
daughter.
Right.
And my mom is going through some health challenges of her own right now with advanced stage Parkinson's, and I'm getting ready to go help with her care. And so watching the film really provided me a lot of hope about the fact that healing comes in different forms.
Right.
And that that's what I saw in your portrayal of Joyce, that she got to the point where she was hoping for a miracle, but she had already seen miracles too. So I want to say thank you on behalf of families that will get that message. And just to ask you what it's meant to you in your own life to play this woman, to play this part.
Yeah, it's so nice to be able to have these conversations with everyone. You know, that's what I think real art does, is it creates conversation, and the fact that it's a true story gives it validity, and then when it has validity, you're more inclined to believe it, and when you're inclined to believe it, you're just more open. And I think that is so, I mean, it's invaluable. And so for me, it's about my consistency and my prayer, my conscious contact with God, and how much I've been blessed, and how I want to give this back to everybody who will see the movie. You know, whether you believe it or not, whether you believe in or have faith or not.
Well, I think that we can recognize the power of a community, and that's definitely
100%.
What the Smiths had around them. I had the great chance to talk to John today, and to
is he incredible?
Yeah, I really thought he was, and I mean, what a great thing for a young man to see, not only to see his life, but also to see the impact that his life can have on other people, and that's ultimately, I think, what we hope for all of us, that you know, that we can make our world a better place.
Yeah, so, and we're stronger together than we are apart.
Chrissy, I know you've had a long day. Any kind of final thoughts or encouragement to people who might be listening about why they should see this film, and particularly maybe why to go see it with family?
Yeah, you gotta see it. And it's really so wonderful and heartwarming and inspiring. And it's always nice to have that, like, you know, bonding time with your family. But also, if you're looking for something and you're looking to be inspired or reminded of how important you are, and if you just want to feel something, you got to see the movie. Yeah, for sure.
You heard her. Go see the movie.
You got
awesome.
To.
Thank April 17th. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time, but especially for this project. I really admire the work that you did here. Say a little bit about what it's like to take a real story and turn it into a film project like this.
Well, it's a huge obligation to get it right. And that was a priority that stuck with me every single day on the project. As we were developing the script, as we were shooting it, I spent a lot of time with the family beforehand, visiting them, spending time in their home, visiting all of the locations, talking to the first responders, the doctors, going down to the lake where it happened, spending time with John. All of that really influenced me in terms of trying to tell this story as true as possible, to really, because we don't need to embellish this message. I mean, the
it's
event,
enough.
it is dramatic enough. Why, you know, and an audience is smart. They're very smart these days. They can tell when we're trying, you know, to embellish something or create something that's not there. And there was no need to. The story in its raw form moved me completely to my core. And all we needed to do was really tell that story truthfully and to get the message out.
So given that backdrop and the research that you did, am I right that you're a first-time director?
Well, no, I've actually been directing for 20 years.
Oh,
sometimes
goodness.
It can seem like it's an overnight. This is my first feature.
Oh, wow.
So I've been
phenomenal.
Yes.
So, and you've been on the other side of the camera as well.
I have, yes.
Quite a lot. And so I'm wondering the difference in the storytelling and how it is for you behind the scenes, you know, really directing all the action and bringing the vision together, what you enjoyed about that in this particular project.
Well, like I said, I've been directing for a long time. So it's, I mean, something like this is, it's definitely in my wheelhouse to be able to handle this. But I think what I enjoy most, and I especially enjoyed most about this project is working with actors. And because I am one, or was one, I really do understand what I'm asking of them. Mm-hmm. And I do understand how difficult it is, and I have respect for what they're doing. I think, especially with Chrissy, it gave me a shorthand with her so that we were able to really, in a way, conspire to create what we needed to create in the moment. And there was a lot of trust there. That's very important to me. I truly do love and admire actors and what, and I know how hard it is to do what they do. Right. So that was an asset in a way, the fact that I had that background.
And her performance is stunning. I wanted to comment on that, and just particularly as a mom myself, kind of understanding, you know, the nature of her relationship with her son and how she captures the emotion. So that was great. And to see her in this role was phenomenal. Any thoughts about working with Marcel, who is a young man? He was brilliant. I thought he really was.
He really was. You know, it's a hard bill to film. We needed to find somebody who could play 14.
Who could play basketball,
who looked like he was adopted from Guatemala, but yet couldn't be completely accented because he grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. So we needed to find somebody who could, and who had a heart and could handle the emotional range that, you know, so Marcel came to us. He auditioned 7 times. And finally, he won that role. He really earned it because he showed a willingness to, even though he had not experienced these things in his short life, to be very honest about that and ask for guidance. And he was very willing to be directed and quite willing to go to places that he had never been before. And to me, that's all you need, is an actor who's going to be brave enough to go there. And he was, and he did.
I read in my research that you're an adoptive parent.
Yes, I am.
And so how was the making of this film sort of blessed by your own personal experiences? And, you know, what do you hope this encourages for families that are either adoptive families or foster families out there facing some challenges sometimes?
Well, you know, it's so interesting. In working on the script, there were many ways that we could introduce that John was adopted. And if you notice in the film, we don't introduce that right away. We don't make that an issue until it's revealed at a certain point in the film. And I think it's important because it's not an issue with my daughter. She is my daughter.
Right.
And I do believe that our children come to us in different ways. I have these 2 pictures in my office. One is when my biological daughter was handed to me when she was first born and put on my chest, and you can see my face in that picture. And then the other picture is when my adopted daughter, Mia, was handed to me in China at 8 months old, and my expression is the same. There is no difference, and I think it was important that we understand that this mother's love goes beyond blood. It's about being a mother. It's not about whether that person is your blood.
And one particular thing about the film that really struck me was the sort of the range of settings that you're filming in. And I have to ask you about the filming of the accident scene and the involvement. I know that there's a lot of technical work that goes into filming something like that, tanks, but also you filmed in Canada some of this. So how was that for you? I understand it was very cold out there.
It was beyond cold. I was praying for my feet to numb so that the pain would stop. It was the coldest thing I've ever experienced. 2 days out on the actual frozen lake, and we had to pull that up in the schedule because the ice was melting. So we got some engineers out there that said, you know what, if you don't do it this week, you may not have your frozen lake, in which case we didn't have a film. So we were still in the middle of prep. We still were not prepared to begin shooting the film, but our wonderful line producer Becky Trujillo said, come on, we've got to pull the trigger on this one. We're just going to go in there and shoot it. So we got the people together enough to at least get these 2 days of shooting done out on the lake. The rest of that sequence was shot in tanks for 3 days, a deep water tank for the underwater sequences, and then one that was more shallow for the surface sequences for the first responders and for the boys when they were at the surface of the water. And all of this was carefully storyboarded. I talked with every department, and we figured out at every point who was responsible for what, from visual effects to special effects to props. These actors who were out on the ice to begin with and had to be cold when we were in a warm soundstage, and all of that involved them being able to act that as well. And we pulled it together, hopefully seamlessly. But it was really quite a collaborative feat.
There's another moment in the film that really struck me, and it's the prayer vigil scene that happens outside hospital room. Say a little bit about filming that particular scene.
Well, that was such an emotional night for everybody. It really was. Taylor Mosby, who played Shayla, she blew us away in her audition when she first sang the song. We knew that she would be singing it. And then we had an arrangement done, you know, just for her and for that vigil. And everybody out there singing, it was... I think we felt the same way that the audience watching it feels. I mean, I was in tears at the monitors. You know, a lot of the group out there was in tears. It's not only such a beautiful song, but in the context of this film, right. And then intercut with the scene that's happening inside the room. I think it just transcends so many things and just. It really speaks to the power of community.
And community, one last question about a scene. You have this very stirring scene at the end of the film where you have all the first responders in the church. You had the family present that day. Say a little bit about that particular moment in the shooting.
Well, that was a reenactment of the first responder service, which actually did happen. It's actually available, I think, on YouTube. You can go and watch the whole thing. And so this was a condensed version of that actual event. And we did have the family present on the day that we were shooting it.
Right.
And what was really interesting is that it's an emotional scene. Especially for John, who has to go through what he sees when he sees how many people were praying for him to help him survive. But what was really neat is that we had all of these extras in the house who had been there all day long, you know, and so tired and watching this over and over again, the scene over and over again. And right towards the very end, I decided to bring out the real family on stage just so that all the extras could
see them.
And, you know, I figured they'd be jaded by this time. They were half watching. They weren't involved. You know, they're just sitting there.
Yeah.
And they came out on stage and got an unending standing ovation.
Wow.
Because I guess that crowd had been, I mean, they were really watching the whole day. They were really into this. Mm-hmm. They weren't just extras. They were, again, part of the community. And I was blown away by their emotional response to seeing the real family up there.
I think that is the ultimate message of Breakthrough, that there's something here for everyone.
Yes.
That it's not just the story of this one family, but the story of hope and faith and trust for everyone. So congratulations.
Yes.
Any closing thoughts?
No, I'm hoping that this will be received in the way that I think it should be, and that I'm hoping that people of various faiths and walks in life, and anybody who doesn't need some inspiration and some hope and to be reminded that you aren't alone. So please go see this film. I think it can change you.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
John, thanks so much for not only your time, but especially for your part in making this movie. What is it like to see your story come to the big screen and to have this experience?
You know, it's a huge blessing. First of all, to be alive. And second, you know, to have such a great cast, you know, portray the film. I personally couldn't have picked a better cast, and, you know, having Marcel Ruiz play me, I love the kid. I mean, he's great. He portrayed me perfectly, and I'm just super excited to see Breakthrough in his career through Breakthrough. So it's just amazing.
Do you mind putting the time in context for me, what age you were during the time of the events and how old you are now? You're probably the only person I can get away with asking that.
Yes. So I was 14 years old when this happened, and it happened on January 19, 2015, where I fell through the ice. I was underwater for 15 minutes and I was without a pulse for an additional 45. So in all, they timed it. I was dead for over about an hour and 8 minutes.
So we're actually now only a few years out from this event.
Yes, a little over four.
I mean, in the film, we see you return to school pretty quickly.
Yes.
How long was it for you before you really kind of felt 100% back?
You know, it was really quick. Like, they really didn't know how to treat my body because they've never experienced this before. They were actually taking more precautions than I needed. So I was back to playing basketball within like the next month, if you can believe it. And I was training. That summer I played my summer basketball team, and I was getting ready for the next year of basketball. So I was completely healthy. Yes, I lost a lot of weight, but you know, I ate a ton of food, and then I just lifted a bunch of weights.
Wow. And are you graduated from high school now?
No. I am currently a senior, class of 19.
Nothing like putting this on your college application.
You wouldn't believe it. But Pastor Samuel Rodriguez, he has definitely helped get me into college. He's put me underneath President Scott Hagen at North Central University in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and that's where I'll be attending next fall. I graduate in May. Me and my girlfriend are heading up to NCU, and we couldn't be more excited.
Oh, that's so awesome. So is there any challenge to seeing? I mean, I'm sure this was both a grace-filled event but also traumatic. So when you sit and watch, especially the rescue scenes, do you have any kind of like fear or PTSD or anything like that?
I don't have PTSD, but I do. It puts everything into perspective for me, because I don't remember a lot, but I do remember some. Mm-hmm. But you know, seeing it on the film, I get to really put myself in the firefighter's shoes and my parents' shoes, and that really makes me emotional, you know, understanding everything they went through during this time.
There's a phrase that keeps recurring in the film. I can't remember the exact words, but it's something that Joyce says to John over and over again, which is that your life has value. Mm. Is that a message that your mom
very similar would say to you? Very similar. I'm 18 years old, and I'm still a mama's boy. I'm right. Not ashamed to say it. When I'm upset,
hey, I'm a 55-year-old daddy's girl. So.
Yeah. I still tell my mom. I still tell my mom every time I'm upset. Mm-hmm. She can tell when I'm upset, and when I'm just mad, sad, angry, I'll lay my head on her shoulder and she'll sing "You Are My Sunshine" to me. I'm 18 years old. And one thing she'll always tell me is, because I'm dating and me and my girlfriend are getting very serious, she says, "No one will love you as much as your mom, and your mommy will love you always and forever." And she's been telling me that since I was born. And you know, that's the real line, but in the film it's "you have a purpose." And right. She's also told me that as well. So me and my mom are just super close. I love her. I miss her. I text her every morning, "Good morning, I love you, and I'll see you soon."
So that message, "you have a purpose," to me, you've made a film, or a film has been made, that any family can go see mm-hmm. with teens, and I really think they should, because,
yes.
You know, while my own kids are older now, I can remember that phase of their lives and, you know, those moments where there might be a little bit of friction between a relationship between a parent and a kid. So what do you hope for families that would go out to see it together that the kids might take away from seeing the film?
I really want the kids to take away that a mother's love is so powerful. And a father's love is so powerful. And you know, it puts into perspective to me is as a teenager and born in 2000, it identifies the sacrifice that they give.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. I mean, my dad used to get up at 4 a.m. every morning, go work at Boeing, and then go work for the St. Louis Cardinals, wouldn't get home until 2 a.m. for my private school education. And you know, I really never understood that until I got older. But this film puts into perspective a mother's love, a father's love, their sacrifice, Pastor Jason sacrificing his time. It's just a whole family thing. And it shows people that family is still matters. And it's still important to this day, because people nowadays just want to shove their kids off and run away. This film
or
shows...
put a screen in their hand.
Exactly. This film shows that a family is still important as it was from the beginning.
And one other big message of the film, and something that your character faces, or Marcel, who plays you, mm-hmm. faces, is this sense, you know, you have been adopted.
Yes.
And you've been
yes.
specially chosen as part of your family. But there's sort of this coming of age theme that's happening in the film, where he's not only struggling with being a new teen, but also with being maybe kind of really understanding why his life, you know, why your life, why it happened this way. So
yes.
Say a little bit about how this can help foster kids and kids who've been adopted into families.
You know, the best piece of advice I can give them is forgiveness. I struggled with this until I was 16, 17 years old. My birth mom's name is Olinta Lopez from Mexico City, Guatemala. And for the longest time, I blamed her. I was angry. I was frustrated. Why didn't she want me? You know, why did she keep my other two brothers and gave me away? You know, where's my birth dad? Who do I look like? I have a girlfriend, and we'll sit around the table comparing what she has of her family, like the family features. I can't. And, you know, I really struggled with that. But the one thing I can say to them is forgiveness.
Okay.
And going back to the sacrifice part, how much they sacrificed, And, you know, I've gotten the opportunity of being around, my girlfriend's family. They just had a new addition to their family. Mm-hmm. So, you know, seeing that pregnancy, seeing what her mom went through and the sacrifice of just giving birth itself and being able to keep it, I can't imagine what it would be like giving birth and letting it go to have a better future.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just something so important, is to remember what they're sacrificing for you to have a better outcome, to have a better future, to have hope. And because if she wouldn't have given me away, I wouldn't be sitting here in front of you today. Mm-hmm. So I owe her, honestly, a lot, because she's given me these opportunities. And so forgiveness is just very, very important.
And having kind of come full cycle in the relationship with Joyce, mm-hmm. your mom, what advice do you have for moms now who are parenting kids who might be going through that kind of challenging phase of life? Because I'm sure it takes a little bit, yes. for even more than what we saw in the movie, for that, for you to settle into a great relationship with your parents.
I would just say be patient.
Okay.
I really would, because kids are not going to open up right away. You know, I mean, I've lived with my parents for, you know, 18 years now, my adopted parents, and I'm still a stubborn 18-year-old. But they've been patient with me. They've understood, and they've given me my space when I need it. But also, they understand when I do need to talk. And that's just something that is so important, is that if you push kids, they're not going to talk. But if you understand and you're just patient with them, then there's a certain extent to where they're going to be like, okay, I can trust you. Even though I already do trust you, I can trust you more to open up about this topic.
So you and your mom had opportunities to be on set. And what has the experience of being part of the making of a film that happens, you know, around your life, what has that meant for you? What have you learned from it? And what will you take away that will kind of help you in the future?
One thing I always say is stay humble, stay hungry. And I actually learned it from the producer, Devon Franklin. Stay humble and know where you came from. I know that this is all God. I know this isn't me. And I know I'm still just a St. Louis boy. And, you know, being on set, it's just that thing. It's a surreal experience. But I also know that this is God's story. He did this. This is all orchestrated by him. It was nothing that I did. It was nothing that my mom did. It is all him. And the second part of that is stay hungry, stay humble. Hungry is the part of going after what God has for you. And that's just so important. So being on set, you know, I was doing a lot of these type of interviews and just staying hungry for the fact that God has a plan for everybody in this set, everybody on this team. And, you know, just realizing that this is a family event and this is a family community. Breakthrough is a family story.
Your faith is so strong, and it's really apparent even in just meeting you that that's a big part of who you are. Mm-hmm. What kind of helps you to stay grounded in that, even when, you know, life is crazy or busy or changes are happening or whatever?
You know, I'll go on record and say I'm not perfect. I'm the farthest thing from. I'm 18 years old. I'm still a teenager. But, you know, I have had to say that I've had to make my circle smaller, mm-hmm. With my friends, with everybody. You know, I have a great girlfriend back home who keeps me the most humble person that I can ever be. She always tells me, she's like, to me, you're the John Smith that I knew through before this even happened.
Right.
And, you know, that's just so important to me to realize that she's not with me for fame, but she's with me because she genuinely cares. Mm-hmm. And, you know, same thing with, you know, my parents. That we're, like I said, we're still just a couple of Midwest folk from good old St. Louis, Missouri. And we just remember that. We still live in the same house. Nothing has changed.
Except people are going to recognize you, yes. when you go to, yes. college.
Yes, that is. I finally was like, I can't hide myself anymore. Yeah. I can't hide myself.
What are you planning to study?
Pastoral.
Oh, that's awesome.
Pastoral.
That's,
yeah, awesome. Pastor Samuel Rodriguez is definitely kind of taking me under his wing and directing me. And hopefully I'll end up in Sacramento or L.A. working for one of his new season campuses. It's my goal.
Oh, fantastic. Well, definitely we'll keep that in our prayers. Any closing thoughts that you want to share with everybody before we let you get on to your next interview, whatever is ahead of you?
Breakthrough is coming out April 17th of 2019. Go see it. It will change your life. And it proves that God still does the impossible.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Sean.
Thank
Great
you.
Great to meet you.
Well, thanks a lot for coming along with me on that field trip podcast, those interviews conducted for the film Breakthrough, which opens nationwide in theaters on Wednesday, April 17th. I hope you'll check it out. I think you'll be really glued to the performances in the film. Chrissy Metz will steal your heart if she hasn't already, and you're going to really love seeing the story of John and Joyce Smith brought to life. Definitely come on over to the show notes for links on how you can grab tickets for the theaters near you that will be playing Breakthrough and share the good news with a friend. We know that movies can and do change hearts, so check this one out. I am on the road this week. As you're listening to this, I am flying to Gulfport, Mississippi to be with my family. And so please, if you could just send some prayers. I'll be sharing more about that little situation in the weeks ahead, I'm sure. But in the meantime, I could just use your prayers. And be assured of mine. I hope you have an awesome week, friends. I'll see you soon. God bless.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.